The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
I'm not sure what that is.
I don't know. I was trying to be...
Boom shakalaka. I know, but not the other. I'm not sure what's going to...
So, I'm here in the studio. It's Sunday once again. We have a fast-paced show. We want to get it... We have a guest coming in later on.
About 10:30 they should be here.
So, I want to get through some of this stuff, fairly quickly that we have. And, again, today's Sunday, October 15th. My name is Mark Kent. I'm your host. You're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. And I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning, everybody.
And the kid that rocks around the clock's back.
Good morning.
He's back.
Faster than a speeding, never mind.
I don't know how fast he... Oh, well, yeah, he does have a monster drink going over there, so he should be going pretty good here.
We want to thank
coffee. We'll get there.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow, wow, wow.
Julie Foster is... we're brought to you by Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agents, 810 Main Street, Red Bluff, California. And her phone number is 530-527-5534. Fill that cappuccino kicking in. And Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating at 530-605-9575. Licensed and bonded. Also, Crackmaster.
Yeah, you can trust your windshield is in good hands with Jeff Horst down there, Crackmaster. He's got over 30 years of experience in windshield repair.
There you have it.
So give him a call at 530-241-8373 or go see him at 3208 East Market Street.
Shout out to Marty Miguel at Clear Creek Microgreens, the best in the West. No question about it. I got a little sample last week, and you know, I've been hearing a lot of good things about this broccoli sprouts. They're supposed to be like the superfood, as if there's not enough superfoods, but this is like the super duper food. So I got to try that one. Big O, Tires and Jay and the gang and Dustin over there.
Okay, I've got a few announcements to get out real quick.
Go ahead.
Frankie gave them to me, so I better get them out. Anyway, the stand down is coming October 19th, 20th, and 21st. It's at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. This is a hand out, not a hand up, not a hand out. This is for homeless veterans, women and men. You don't have to be active. You can be prior in the service. Anyway, there's no clothing until Friday afternoon for walk-ins.
So this is like a private beach thing or something?
Yeah, sure it is.
Clothing.
Yeah. give out all kinds of stuff. If you've ever been there, we've been doing it for quite a few years when they have it. There's lots of clothing for the veterans down there. So anyway, that's going to be the stand down again, October 19th, 20th, and 21st. And I know I'm going to be down there and a few other people help with the cooking as usual. If you need to call somebody and get more information, give them a call at 530-737-8486. The next one is United States Marine Corps 248th birthday celebration. And let's see, tickets for this is $35 each.
Why do I hear the Washington Post march in my head?
I don't know. and I do know that they have drawings for guns for this. This is going to happen on November 10th of this year. If you're interested in buying tickets, of course, the Ticketmaster, the person that is the all-around guru of raffles is Mr. Wilkinson.
I was going to say, it has to be Dick Wilkinson. I got an email. I haven't had a chance to respond to
that. Yeah. Give him a call at 530-246-9131. So they're going to be drawing for three different guns. Again, this is the United States Marine Corps 248th birthday celebration. It's going to be Friday, November 10th. Doors open at 5 p.m., and it's at the Wind River Event Center. And then this one is the Golden State Tour, November 8th through the 12th. This is Suicide Awareness. AmVets is putting this on. They will be in Reading on November 11th. That's on Veterans Day. They will be out at the Igo Cemetery at 10 a.m. So, again, that is for Suicide Awareness.
Alrighty then.
I have one more. I have one puppy still that is a Belgian Shepherd Malinois, and it is 530-377-009. It's a male. He wants to go home with families. He's already trained around chickens, already potty trained and crate trained, goes to sleep at 10 o'clock at night, wakes you up in the morning at 7 in the morning. So that's where we're at.
All right.
Wow.
All right, so I'm going to start off with the economy today, and I just want to play a short clip here. This is from Greg Mannarino, TradersChoice.net. Well, they call him the Robin Hood of Wall Street. And I think that this kind of puts in perspective how good our economy is doing. Are we ready? Let's go.
Hold on a second.
Are we ready?
Ready.
Okay, let's go.
Central bank's power. There we go. You cut off their ability to issue a single dollar of debt. Then we could take the system back, but it's not going to happen. Again, people right now, they're being divided. They're being told where to look, how to think. Do you understand? Okay, why is it that global debt never goes down? Why is it that population of the world...
Let me try this again. I think I clicked the...
Also, these central... This already, people. Generates more need for borrowed dollars to be pulled. And you know this already, but pay attention, please. At its core, the world right now is in a full-blown liquidity crisis. That is, cash is drying up very rapidly. In order to keep the world financial system liquid, events like war and expanding wars are started deliberately. Repeated warnings are always ignored. They allow these things to happen. They know they're going to happen. They know they're going to happen because they've been planned out years in advance. They allow them to happen because it's a means to an end. Do not let a crisis go to waste. How many times have we heard this?
Okay, so I want to bring it forward just a little bit, and then I want to play this part here.
Hold. Collectively by central banks. It is central banks who control the world economy, the world financial markets, the world financial system. It is also these central banks who deliberately foster war to fulfill their end game. Every central bank on this earth has but one goal, an end game, which is to be the lender and buyer of last resort, to own the world.
Let's stop it there. Somehow or another, my clip got messed up here, and that's not what I exactly wanted to play. But I wanted to play the fact that how fast our debt is accruing. And so let's go to our caller.
Caller, we will go to Richard. Good morning, Richard. Ow.
Sorry. Still there, Richard?
You there?
Who's that?
Dick. We're here. Can you hear us?
I wasn't cut into this now. Anyway, I'd like to give some more details about this Marine Corps ball.
Okay, go.
Anyway, last year I sold lots of tickets on this, and Frank Rose, my good buddy, he thought that maybe I should be on this ticket committee, so he volunteered me, so I agreed. There's another guy, too, Richard Marchand, and his number is 530-275-5357. He also has tickets. I went to a meeting last Thursday for the Marine Corps ball business, and Carl Bott is the president of it. And anyway, I came out with 60 tickets at each one of the guns. They're only printing 100 at each one. And so I got 60% of them. And I already, I've sold 83 tickets, and I've got more promised. So I essentially sold half of them already that I have. I've still got 90 of them sold of the 180 that I have.
Well, anyway, that's not surprising.
Anyway, the three, can I describe the three guns? The first one, they're all three handguns. It's a Glock 17. And the other one is a Ruger LCR. It's a five-shot, small little revolver, 30 special plus speed. And the other one is a 45 ACP by Rock Island Armory. And with every winner, you get one free CCW class by Northern Firearms Instruction. So anyway, tickets are only $10. And so if anybody needs them, you can give me a call. You already mentioned my number is 530-246-9131. And so we're going to try to get them all sold before the thing starts. And if you wish to go to it, like you said, it's $35. So anyway, hope we get a big turnout, and let's help sell these tickets for the Marine. I am not a Marine veteran. I'm a Navy veteran, but I don't mind helping the United States Marine Corps. So anyway, please help.
All right.
Good.
Thanks, Dick. We appreciate it.
All right. I want to get back on this clip here because I got it keyed up here. I'm not sure what happened. Somehow or another, the mouse kicked it off though, where I was at. But this is what I wanted you guys to hear.
Here in the United States, U.S. debt is rising at $40 billion per day right now. $40 billion per day. And at the current pace, this means we will add $1 trillion to the federal deficit every 45 days. At its current pace, with wars, acceleration of wars, expanding wars, this is going to be every 30 days, maybe even every 15.
So that's what I wanted you to hear, is that we are, you know, printing money, borrowing it from the Fed at such an accelerated rate because they won't stop the spending. They're talking about increasing the debt by $1 trillion every 30 days.
That's insane.
Well, it's unsustainable.
Well, yeah, it's not. But what could go wrong with this equation, folks?
That's kind of my point. Is that you know, it's crazy, and now we're going to get into another war, proxy war with you know, Israel, you know, backing Israel against Hezbollah and Hamas, who's backed by Iran, who's backed by, you know. So I want to. I know we've got a guest coming in, but later on I have a series of videos I want to play for you to kind of give us a little bit more perspective on this, because this is more complicated than, oh, you know, just Hamas is bad. Now, I'm not standing up for Israel or Hamas. I'm saying anybody that goes in and slaughters a bunch of innocent people is a war crime and should be punished for that. But what I want to do is give perspective as to why this is occurring and what the problems are. And it's much more complicated. There's a lot of questions here. And who's profiting off of this? Okay. And we start looking into who's profiting off of this. We start going, well, maybe there's more than one dog in the hunt here. And this gets to be a little more complicated than these guys are just war criminals and need to be punished. So it's a crazy thing. And I've got the clip on. This is from a perspective of a Jewish guy who actually is a survivor of the Holocaust. And I think it's one of the most honest perspectives I've ever heard. So I think our guest just came in, but
I think so.
Here, I want to play this clip real quick before he gets in, and then this is from the We Lie to You News.
Good evening, and welcome to We Lie to You News. Tonight's top story, Israel versus Palestine. We'll be shaping your thinking to help it make sense to you why many on the left are actively cheering on terrorists who are murdering innocent civilians, including babies, which also includes cutting the heads off of babies, kidnapping children, and burning people alive. We have our work cut out for us tonight. But before we get to why the side that's always accusing you of being an anti-Semite, the left, is cheering on the murder of innocent Jews, first we'll cover the funding of these deadly terrorist attacks. It takes a lot of money to fund terrorists so they can buy missiles to bomb Israelis, planes so paratroopers can drop in and murder civilians at festivals, and guns so they can go door to door to shoot babies, children, women, and men. So where did that money come from? Well, probably just out of thin air. But where we know the money didn't come from was Biden, who unfroze $6 billion, giving it to Iran. Irrelevant side note, Iran is the country that Hamas credited for funding them and their attacks. The Babylon Bee reports that the White House claims the $6 billion to Iran is not related to the exactly $6 billion worth of rockets being fired into Israel. And that's irrefutably true. Because on September 11th, of all days, when Biden announced he gave Iran $6 billion, what could go wrong with that? He reassured Americans that no harm would come from it. Thank you for your word, Joe. Because he told Iran that that $6 billion was for humanitarian purposes only. You want to blow up Israel and murder its citizens? Okay, well here's $6 billion. Just don't use it for that. Biden's was an ironclad strategy, just as effective as Hunter videotaping himself doing drugs and banging prostitutes to ensure that he doesn't get caught doing drugs and banging prostitutes. Biden's move to give a terrorist state $6 billion was like a teenager saying to his parents, "Hey, I'm going to the liquor store. Can I have some money?" "Yes, just don't buy any alcohol." However, in a shocking revelation with Iran and Hamas, somehow the teenager did end up buying alcohol. But nobody could have possibly predicted that would happen. Nobody except for one man. A man that we still tell you is a Russian asset. President Trump. Back in September, in response to Biden giving Iran a truckload of money, President Trump released the following statement on Truth Social. "Can you believe that crooked Joe Biden is giving $6 billion to the terrorist regime in Iran? That money will be used for terrorism all over the Middle East, and indeed the world." That's preposterous. We at the media can confidently say that Trump is wrong, even though he's correct. I think I have head lice. Is that still a thing? I think I have lice. My scalp. Conservative political commentator Jack Posobiec weighed in by saying, "I said recently the neocons would start World War III to cancel the 2024 election. How's that prediction looking right now?" Well, Jack, not looking too good, you moron. Because for neocons to start World War III, they would have to fund a terrorist organization to commit savage, atrocious acts on innocent civilians that would cause that country to mount an enormous military response while garnering the support of people around the world, which would then usher in the public support necessary for World War III. This just in! Oh yeah, that's what's happening. Question for you.
I gotta stop it there, because this question had something to do with Jack up on the roof, and we're gonna help him off.
Oh. Well, oopsie. There we go.
So I had to cut it short there. You can do the math. But this is a lot more complicated than you think. You know, as far as, we're funding these guys with our money. Let's see. Is there something wrong here while we're supposed to be, backing the other side?
So I've wanted to make a video on it for probably this last week, but I also wanted to do a bunch more research on it. So from my perspective, it's incredibly nuanced. One of the reasons I believe we missed the attack originally entirely is because when we pulled out of Afghanistan, we left behind those readers that had all of the information, all the fingerprints, all the identifications of all of the people that helped us. So that being said, all those people left behind, they died. Or they fled the country, and they're no longer intelligence assets. That's really easy and really simple to say, yeah, we had an intelligence network, and what happens when you screw over your entire intelligence network?
Yeah, they're not very intelligent anymore.
Well, if you listen to Joe, too, yeah, we sent over the money, the $6 billion, but None of it's been spent yet.
I think I'm going to go ahead and try and get this in because it's not very long. Mm-hmm. But this is the perspective, and this is from Russell Brand's show that I want to get out there. And this is his introduction to the guy. This is his Dr. Gabor Mate.
Is with Dr. Gabor Mate, the therapist and writer, physician, and I would say sort of modern day shaman. But furthermore, and significantly with regard to this matter, he is a Holocaust survivor. Many of his family members were killed in the Holocaust. He had this to say about the situation in Israel now. It's one of the most beautiful, profound, and effective things I've ever seen anybody say about this conflict, and I fail to see how anybody could. I think anybody who sees it will be deeply moved by Gabor Mate's wisdom and truth, his directness and his passion and his compassion.
So I'm going to stop it there and then go forward to him, and I will post this video on Facebook so you can watch the whole thing for yourself. But I'm going to just take a couple excerpts out of this. And this is the doctor, and he's explaining who the Palestinians are.
Who are the Palestinians? Because the Jews in Roman times all of them never left Palestine. Many of them stayed there. And some of them, hundreds of years later, converted to Islam. So guess who the Palestinians are? In some ways, they might be descendants of ancient Jews. They are cousins, to say the least, no matter how you look at it. And you know, and there's no way you could have ever created a Jewish state without oppressing and expelling the local population, which is what they did in 1947, beginning in 1947, and first of all, with British Empire protection, you know. But they did this. And then in 1948, Israeli historians, Jewish Israeli historians, have shown without a doubt that the expulsion of the Palestinians was persistent, it was pervasive, it was cruel, it was murderous, and with deliberate attempt. So that's what's called the Nakba in Arabic, the disaster or the catastrophe. Now in Canada, there's a law that you cannot deny the Holocaust. I don't believe in such laws, by the way. But in Israel, you're not allowed to mention the Nakba, even though it was at the very basis of the foundation of the state. So once I became aware of all this, I was... okay, well, yeah, we created this beautiful dream, but we imposed a nightmare on somebody else. And then I visited the occupied territories, Russell, during the first intifada. I cried every day for 2 weeks at what I saw. The brutality of the occupation, the petty harassment, the murderousness of it, the burning down of Palestinian, or cutting down of Palestinian olive groves, the denial of water rights, the humiliations. And this went on, and it's much worse now than it was then. So this is the background. And it couldn't have been in any other way. Because again, you couldn't have created that exclusive Jewish state without oppressing or expelling the local population. It's the longest ethnic cleansing operation in the 20th and 21st centuries.
I'm playing this because I want to illustrate that this is a much more complicated issue than we think. And there's both sides at fault, and I'm not advocating for either side as much as I'm advocating for, I want to know what the truth is. I want to know the background. I want to know, you know, the atrocities, whether committed on either side. And I'm not defending either side either. I mean, you know, and I've also got a clip saying that they've had to back off the White House had to back off the fact that they said they had verified of the kids' heads being cut off. I want the truth, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's so I'm listening to this guy with that in mind, and I'm not in defense of either side, or advocating for either side. I'm saying this is a guy, who is a Jew saying this. Okay, so you have to understand that there's a setup to where we're at. And if we're going to stop this hate-filled war world, we need to understand and analyze and get to the bottom of the problems here, or it'll never be solved. It's just going to be a constant battle of, you know, a constant war. And, gee, I wonder who has been benefiting from that. Okay, and we'll talk about that a little bit, too.
But it's going to be really hard to get to the bottom, all the way to the bottom. It may take a little bit to actually get down to the truth of exactly what is transpiring anywhere, let alone there.
This bad blood goes back so much further than that. So there's you have a story in the Bible. You've got Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. And from that story of the Bible, you have these tribes end up being there. The story goes that Sarah ended up being told at a very old age that she was going to end up having a child that was going to be a father of many nations for Abraham. She didn't believe it, and she was silenced. Now, in order to fulfill that need and that desire for Abraham to become the father of many nations, as the Bible said, your descendants will be as the sand on the seashore, whatever.
Right.
Well, anyway, and of the stars, like that sort of thing. Well, anyway, so Sarah ends up giving her maid to be able to be a lover and bear children to Abraham. Well, then Sarah ends up fulfilling what God had ended up saying, and you ended up having Sarah then being like, hey, I want my offspring to have this, and I want this over here, and sends the maiden Hagar away. And from that maiden Hagar, you have the descendants that ended up creating Iran, Pakistan, and the Quran. So you end up having that same two tribes. That's why they generally have so similar of religion, but also don't.
It's interesting. Now, I want to play this next one. This is another clip. And this is what they're not telling us. This is one thing. And so what I'm saying is that you've got this thing in the Middle East that's a terrible thing no matter how you slice the pie. Mm-hmm. But I want to know who's benefiting from it as well. Let's play this.
Obviously, with something as sensitive as this, you wouldn't imagine that there would be anyone anywhere in the world looking to exploit such a sensitive and awful situation from which nobody really clearly benefits, if you ask me, to be looking for opportunities to profit. And yet, that is precisely what's happening. Military experts are predicting record profits for weapons manufacturers, as always happens in war, and that's a brutal reality, I suppose. But you certainly wouldn't expect, would you, members of the United States Congress to be investing in defense-related stocks? Wouldn't that undermine everything they've been telling you about the authenticity of their feelings, however they regard this conflict or claim to regard this conflict? All of the grandstanding and moralizing and the sympathetic I stand with or we must be pro. How does that look in light of the fact that members of Congress have been investing in military-related stocks? Let's have a look at Joe Biden, as you might imagine, pledging support and claiming that this is a simple moral issue.
My administration's support for Israel's security is rock solid and unwavering. Let me say this as clearly as I can.
Not a high bar.
This is not a moment for any party hostile to Israel to exploit these attacks to seek advantage.
Or, perhaps you could argue, anyone to exploit these attacks from any angle. Surely, with all of the complexities that must be considered in this long historic matter, you wouldn't expect it to be reduced to an exercise in profiteering, particularly not by people that are making decisions with regard to the military aspect of this encounter, would you? Well, you probably would if you have access to independent media, because you will be well informed about the machinations of government and
I'm going to stop it there, but let me get this straight. So we got Joe Biden saying he supports Israel. Okay, but at the same time, we just gave $8 billion to the people who say they're against Israel, that are supporting Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Now, doesn't this sound a little bit like somebody's funding both sides of the war and profiteering off of it? And that couldn't be like the central banks who are you know, having a liquidity crisis here because they got to keep this debt thing going by lending money to everybody so that the world economy stays, upright, if you will. So what I'm saying here is that we're being played here a little bit. Okay. We were being played in Ukraine because If you're just going to have endless wars and all these guys are going to keep profiting off it, and if this war goes bad, all of a sudden it goes out of favor and we don't want to fund Ukraine anymore. Now we got the new one here, and it seems like this has been going on for a long, long time. And so I'm saying this isn't as cut and dried as we'd like it to be from the news perspective. And so you got to be careful that you're not listening to the conservative pundits as well as the liberal pundits, because what happens is you're getting disinformation from both sides to promote a war, if you ask me.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The lie's been going on for a long, long time, and it isn't limited to government officials or not. I mean, this is something that they've been working at higher levels for a long, long time.
Why would you give $8 billion to Iran to begin with? Why would you do that? Oh, for humanitarian purposes? Well, and by the way, you did leave $89 billion or something armaments and war machines in Afghanistan, who is neighboring and in involved with these jihads, and that's not going to filter over into this war either. So how is it that you got a guy setting up both sides of the war, backing both sides of the war, and saying that, oh yeah,
he's just a puppet?
Well, something you got to think about this a little bit deeper than, oh yeah, Israel good, Hamas bad, because there's something else going on here besides that. I think they're using that as a pretext for these wars so they can keep spending money, and the industrial military machine is profiting and keeps controlling everybody and everything.
So there's a couple things in the research that I did, and unfortunately I ended up watching a lot of these videos, and I ended up getting into a lot of the culture and a lot of the things that are going on over there. So I ended up telling my wife and had this conversation that it's similar to what took place in the anime Attack on Titan. In this anime, you have these bad people who ended up having an atrocity that was caused years past. And then you ended up having a group that was overseas from these people that wanted to eradicate all of them over it because of the horrors that were inflicted upon them. That's the same exact thing as what
exactly
we're seeing over there.
Well, and we've got Nero in the White House who probably doesn't know his butt from a hole in the ground, and creating policies that actually stoke flames of the fire, that is pouring gasoline on the fire here. That's part of my point. And then so you look at this whole thing and you go, what the hell? And in the meantime, our economy is going right down the tubes in this whole free fall of counterfeiting worldwide, and the whole global economy is going right down the crapper.
So there was,
yeah, but they want one world order. They want it
bingo.
Global. That's what it's all about, is everybody be the same, and they have control over everybody.
Exactly right.
There was videos that I watched of children, and they're interviewing these children inside of these schools, and they're asking these children, what do you think of Hamas? And generally the consensus was they liked it, and they asked these children, what needs to happen to the Jews? And they say they all need to be eradicated, right. Every last one of them.
Yeah.
So
I'm not justifying that by any stretch.
It's not, but it's a learned process, and it's a learned hate.
Well, they've created
so
this. They've created
that's all they know.
That's exactly right. They've created an ingrained hatred. Instead of breaking the cycle here someplace, it just keeps going on and on and on.
And to Ukraine and to that area and that portion in Ukraine, you've got a small strip of Ukraine, just like this Gaza Strip, where we constantly are fighting these proxy wars. We keep sending our men, we keep sending our troops, we keep sending our guns, and a lot of the guns that we ended up sending Ukraine, we're seeing over here used in this conflict.
And the other side of what's happening here is we're starting to see alerts all over the United States. We've let all these guys through the border. Nothing could happen here, and there's no 9/11 thing going on. There's no sleeper cells. Well, New York's on high alert right now over the weekend for the day of rage, which just happened to be Friday the 13th, and nothing actually happened too much. But then these guys do a head fake. Do you think that these terrorists are not going to strike in America? So analyze the whole picture. You get look at the big picture of Joe Biden. He's funding both sides. He's letting people all through the border. And the guys in Congress are betting on the weapons manufacturers by buying their stock. Really?
This is the same exact thing. People forget it was in 2005 that Israel actually ended up having the administration. I believe it was the Obama administration at that point in time. I'd have to go back and double check. But he ended up actually ceding this territory in Gaza that now is contested, that they're putting it, pushing everybody else. This was 2005. Well, that's now, not that long ago.
Now we're in the O'Biden administration.
Well, and here's the worst part about this, too, is that you go through and you look at what's taken place with this, and you have all these other countries that are complicit. You know who the largest funder of Hamas is? It's Iran. So you have Iran, and you have Syria,
Let's
and you have Egypt.
Give them $6 billion. Mm-hmm. What could go wrong?
And all of these people were denied any type of refugee status to right. Iran and to Syria and to the rest of them.
That's
so they create
I,
this
that's,
horrible
that's what I'm saying. Now I want to play a little more of this clip and listen to this guy again.
Still going on. And who are these people in Gaza? Now you have to go to Gaza. You have to go there to really appreciate it. It's a small area where there are these multiple hundreds of thousands of people. Who are those people? The direct children or grandchildren of the people that are expressed from Israel, or what is now Israel. Now here's the outrage. And I'd like your Zionist friend in the States to tell me this. I, as a Jew, I could land in Tel Aviv tomorrow and demand citizenship under the right law of the right of return. But my Palestinian friend in Vancouver, Hana Kawas, who was born in Jerusalem, can't even visit. Now, if I have the right to return after 2,000 years, if that history is even the way it is, which is itself questionable, but let's assume that it is, if I have the right to return after 2,000 years, how come Hana hasn't got the right to return after 70 years? So what sense is it? Now, so who is Gaza? This desperate, blockaded, let me stop again. Am I talking too long about this? I'm sorry, I just...
Okay, I'm gonna go forward just a little bit, and this is talking more about Gaza.
There were free elections in Gaza, monitored by international community. They were declared to be the freest elections ever held in the Arab world. And Hamas happened to win. And when Hamas won that election, Israel and the United States immediately organized a military coup against them, which Hamas defeated. For which the punishment was this blockade that deprives Hamas of, not Hamas, but Gaza, of food, of medical supplies, of sufficient water. I could go on and on and on and on. And then you have this conflict. And then every time there's a conflict, Israel mows the lawn. That's the expression they use. You know what they call it? They call it mowing the lawn. By which they mean the mass murder of Palestinian civilians. Now, is it true that the Gazans shoot rockets into Israel, killing innocent civilians? Yes, it is. Do I support that? No, I don't. But when it comes to the death of innocent civilians, Israel killed 20,000 Lebanese civilians in 1982 using illegal weapons like cluster bombs in a war that had no justification whatsoever. I could go on and on and on and on.
So I'm just trying to give a fair picture of what's going on here so we understand the complexity of this more.
There are also, though, I'm going to push back a little bit on the whole idea of depriving them of water and food, because Israel, until the attacks, had been giving them their water and their food. You don't have to give your enemy something that's going to help them hurt you.
All I'm saying is that we're being lied to so much, it's hard to really know what the truth is.
We are.
Yeah,
no matter what it's on.
Well, and this gets back to my point, too. They push this and they say it's such a humanitarian problem, and yet Egypt doesn't give them water or food. You have all of these other nations that are on the other side. They don't give them water, food, or electricity. Why is Israel responsible for giving them water, food, and electricity?
So I want to bring it back here, and I want to play. See, what we're doing is we're setting up a dangerous situation for us in America. That's where I'm kind of going here.
Oh, absolutely.
And so here's Christopher Ray, and he did this post. I believe it was on this morning, actually. And let's hear what he had to say.
We remain committed to continue confronting those threats, both here in the United States and overseas. In this heightened environment, there's no question we're seeing an increase in reported threats, and we've got to be on the lookout, especially for lone actors who may take inspiration from recent events to commit violence of their own. So I'd encourage you to stay vigilant, because as the first line of defense protecting our communities, you're often the first to see the signs that someone may be mobilizing to violence. I'd also ask you to continue sharing any intelligence or observations you may have. And on our end, we're committed to doing the same so that together we can safeguard our communities.
Now, you trust the FBI, right?
Yeah, sure we do.
Yeah, I'm going to share my intelligence. And then you think about all the guys paratrooping into Israel. Yeah, we don't need any small arms in our community to protect ourselves, because that's just dangerous. Are you kidding me? So you kind of get the idea we're being set up here a little bit. And
You need to be on alert on certain things, that's for sure.
If you're not paying attention to what's going on around out there, I don't care how you feel about this issue or what you think about who's right or wrong or indifferent, you need to be watching what's going on around you, because there are sleeper cells. We know they're sleeper cells. Yep. They've let the border open. And these people don't care who you are or what you think at this point, right, wrong, or indifferent. They're killing everybody in their path because through vendetta, through anger, through revenge, through not having a great childhood, it doesn't really matter at that point what their reasoning is as much as what their actions are. And that's kind of my point of this whole thing, is that we've got a volatile situation where these guys are going to, they would like to kill everybody in America. And you know something, with the politicians up there that we've had in the Christopher Reyes, the Brannons, the CIA guys that have been stirring up trouble, the bankers that have been funding both sides, Joe Biden. I almost can't even blame them for being pissed, but we didn't do it. It's these politicians that we got to get rid of and get out of there and get control of our government. This is the problem. And that's probably in almost every single one of these countries, including Israel and Palestine. They're the ones that are fomenting all of this crap and probably making money off of it.
Yeah. And to your point there, we know there's a lot of the bad guys, terrorists, whatever you want to label them, coming across our border. We know that they didn't catch all of them. That's a known fact.
Well, we know.
They know they disappeared somewhere into our country, and where they are and what they're doing, we don't know.
So when I looked over this story this morning, you know, I had a lot of consternation because, you know, I'm committed to the truth no matter what it looks like. Okay. And sometimes the truth is not an easy pill to swallow. And that's what we're really looking at here is, you know, the complicity of our politicians in this war machine, the complicity of the industrial war machine, the complicity of the bankers and the lending. I mean, those are the real criminals, in my opinion. But we're going to be the guys that are the cannon fodder if we're not careful, because that's what these guys do.
And I think with that, we need to take a break, and we do have a guest in the studio, so we will be bringing them on. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Have that story inside you just waiting to be shared with the world? We have great news. NaNoWriMo is coming. This November is National Novel Writing Month, and the local writing community is gathering to support local writers and stores. Find out how to get involved by heading to NaNoWriMo.org or finding the Writing Roots team on social media. By working together, this November may be the month your dream becomes a reality.
The United States Marine Corps is celebrating its 248th birthday, November 10th, at Wind River Event Center. All are invited to come and celebrate this special event that includes March On of Colors, the Jefferson Pipes and Drums, and honoring our oldest and youngest Marines present, and much more. Tickets are $35 and includes dinner and birthday cake and dancing. Tickets can be obtained through Eventbrite, Marine Corps 248th Birthday. For more information, call 530-605-4565.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Get ready for an adrenaline-packed showdown like no other at Wind River Resort and Casino as Primal Fighting Championships presents Fight Night. Saturday, November 11th, Fight Night will bring you the excitement of amateur, pro, and titled MMA fights. Tickets start at just $55 plus fees and includes $10 free slot play. Must be 21 to attend this extreme event. This action-packed night sells out fast. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No, I'll stand my ground. Won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground. And I won't back down.
I won't back down, baby. There ain't no easy way out.
I won't stay.
I'll stand my ground. And I won't.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. You know, if you got anything out of that last segment, get this out of it. If you're not prepared, you need to be prepared for whatever. Fire, flood, I don't know, guys sky jumping from the sky, whatever.
Drones. You just need to be aware of your surroundings and get a lot of things in order.
Be prepared. That's the moral of that story, no matter what. And then also, I wanted to mention, before we get to our guest, today is actually October 15th, and I don't know if that means anything to most of you guys, but...
Does to us. Yay!
Well, it means we've been working our tails off here lately, because today is actually the deadline, because it falls on a Sunday. They extend it to Monday for all extensions on tax returns that have to be filed. So tomorrow is actually the deadline for tax returns, and we've been working overtime on this crap, and you talk about another conundrum, and
we're just getting over it where we can breathe just for a little bit, and guess what? We get to go right into the next season. Yay!
It's like this. Hey, if we could create a system that nobody could understand so that we could rob people of more of their money and make it so complicated that nobody could actually do it correctly and we wouldn't even know what the law was, but if we could do that and fool everybody into thinking this was really for their own good. Hey, I got an idea. Let's start an organization called the IRS.
Talk about a lie. They lied about that one.
So with that said,
I did have one quick post I wanted to add to the last segment. So this was from Steve Dace on October 13th. So since 9/11, we have imported over 2.3 million people from Islamist countries. Let's say that we vetted them all thoroughly, and we know we didn't. Let's say that we're right, 99% of them are solid refugees that want to be free. Again, a ridiculously impossible hit rate, but stay with me. That 1%.
We're getting into unicorns and rainbows and fairies here.
That 1% would represent 23,000 potential sleeper cells. Now, when you consider that 80% of these Islamist countries consider what Hamas is doing correct, and even a lot of the people in our own administration, that's a concerning number.
Not to mention the fact that we know, listening to Bongino this last week, we've been infiltrated at the highest levels in our own government from these guys. I mean, remember Uma Abedin? Remember, I mean, come on. I mean, at what point in time in the Chinese spy working for Feinstein as their driver for 20 years? And we could go on and on. Now, look
come
at
on, Fang Fang.
Swalwell. Yeah, you know, Fartwell. I mean, at what point in time do you go,
well, how about the
here?
Business dealings that certain government officials have had? Ooh, with China. No problem.
I'd like to get the list on who's investing in the war machine. So, with all that said, I think we beat that horse. I don't know if we beat it to death, but we beat it a little bit. Let's, let's go to our guest, Rich Gallardo here. He's just an all around town guy. He's got his fingers in all the pies, and he's doing everything politically as an activist in town here. And I see him all over the place. He's involved in the school boards. He's involved in the election stuff. I don't know, man. We should run for governor or something. What do you think, Rich?
Good one. Good one.
Well, I try to be funny.
Good one. Well, you know me, right? I'm all about saving our local government, saving our county first. So, yeah, if I'm going to run for anything, it's going to be in this county.
Right.
So, yeah, the hour's almost up. So what I'd like to do, I'm just going to give a very quick summary.
Well, you can hold over, too.
Thank you. If you could queue up that video.
I have it all
queued up. It's about 3 minutes, so I want to give a real quick summary, and then we'll close this hour out with that three-minute video.
Here we go. I'm ready. I got
it
right
here. So let me give a quick summary. We're going to talk about local election, state election laws just passed by the governor. We're going to talk about the local county council, our new county council. Her name's Gretchen. I don't remember her last name. We're going to talk about problems there. We're going to talk about the election ordinance on this Tuesday's board meeting and problems there. We're going to talk about separating the ballots. Yes, I've mentioned that before. And we're going to be talking about the timeline to save our county is getting extremely short prior to this March primary. So that's what we're going to be talking about next hour. So Mark's got about a three-minute video on Mike Adams, Brighteon.com. This is, I forget the guy's name, but he'll say it.
David Clemens.
David Clemens, and Shasta gets a mention in this, but this is about not complying with bad election laws that allow fraud. So go ahead there, Mark.
Here we go.
The enemy, all kinds of weapons where they can beat us. I'm not interested in that.
So we have to go low-tech. Low-tech is the answer here, is what it sounds like you're saying. Is there any county in America that has eliminated the machines?
There have been many victories, but it's like anything. You're dealing with a pendulum of we do something, we get a victory, and the enemy fights back. So I'll give you a couple examples. Shasta County, California, voted to defund the use of Dominion machines in California. So in Commie, California, there's a county. Now, they're fighting for their life. In fact, Gavin Newsom just passed a law that has mandated that hand counting is going to be outlawed. So the question is, what's going to be response to that? But that was a victory. And I think that we, the people, can show up at local meetings saying, still, we're not going to use these machines because they're defective products. They facilitate fraud. And I don't care what your election code says at that point. If fraud enters the situation, your code is worthless. And so there needs to be a pushback to that. In other places like Alaska, we saw in the borough of Wasilla, 15 precincts that aren't using Dominion. Clevenger County, Arkansas, not only got rid of Dominion, a court upheld their decision to not use Dominion. The city of Milton in Georgia, within Fulton County, which is super corrupt, the city decided to do a municipal election without using Dominion. ES&S machines were ruled against in Nevada, in Esmeralda, and Nye counties. And even in my home state, Otero County, we secured a vote to get rid of Dominion drop boxes, and the opposing side was so scared about the prospects of this taking taking root that Coy Griffin, a very courageous commissioner, was removed by a far-left judge, and his case is pending before the United States Supreme Court. So there are victories, and the common thread for where we're experiencing victory has...
And then one thing not included there is Riverside County Registrar of Voters just roughly a week ago was put on administrative leave. I'm still researching that, but their Board of Supervisors gave her $800,000 payout, so... Anyways, so this is the theme for after the next hour begins.
Okay. With that, we're going to go to a hard break, and we will pick this up in about 5 minutes. We'll see you then.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Hundreds of thousands of Gaza residents seeking to heed Israel's order to evacuate roughly the northern half of the territory. We understand Israel is holding back on the potential invasion to give them more time. This week and one day after the Muslim terror group Hamas crashed into Israel with a huge attack that killed more than 1,300 people, left thousands wounded, and hundreds held hostage. The House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan has sent the conference home after getting the GOP nomination for Speaker, but he may not have enough votes.
House Republicans are expected to return to the Capitol Monday. Republican infighting has left the House paralyzed for close to 2 weeks, plunging the chamber into uncharted territory at a time when major international and domestic crises loom, from Israel's war against Hamas to a potential government shutdown in mid-November. A small group of Democrats have reportedly come out and said they would support temporarily expanding the authority of Representative Patrick McHenry from North Carolina, who is standing in as interim speaker. Such a move would allow the chamber to take up urgent bills, including government funding and foreign aid. Edwin Mora, Washington.
Louisiana has a new governor.
Attorney General Jeff Landry fended off a crowded field of candidates Saturday to earn the job. The Republican, who's backed by former President Trump, avoided a runoff by receiving more than 50% of the votes, winning the election outright. Landry will replace current Governor John Bel Edwards, who was unable to seek re-election due to consecutive term limits. Edwards is the only Democrat governor in the Deep South. Ron DeRockstra reporting.
More than 2 months after a wildfire killed at least 98 people on Maui, the three surviving public schools are set to open their doors once again to students on Monday. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Urgent Camp Lejeune settlement message. On September 6th, the government announced it will soon begin providing fast, guaranteed settlements to Camp Lejeune Marines, families, and civilians. Awards will range between $100,000 and $550,000, with an option for higher amounts. If you or a loved one spent time at Camp Lejeune and suffered cancers of the bladder, liver, or kidneys, leukemia, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, Parkinson's, or kidney issues, you may qualify for compensation and could be paid within 60 days after accepting your settlement, with your VA benefits fully protected. You may be entitled to a significant financial award for your Camp Lejeune claim, but you must act now. Call the James Harris Law Camp Lejeune helpline now to get the compensation you deserve. We're already fighting for thousands harmed by the water at Camp Lejeune. Call now or you may forever lose your right to be awarded a settlement between $100,000 and $550,000. For your free evaluation, call 800-320-7171. That's 800-320-7171. 800-320-7171.
The Federal Trade Commission has embarked on a long-awaited antitrust lawsuit against Amazon.
It's the most aggressive move the FTC has taken yet to tame the market power of a company that's become synonymous with online shopping and fast deliveries. Under Chairwoman Lina Khan, the FTC hasn't hesitated in taking big swings against some of America's biggest companies in an effort to snuff out monopolistic behavior. But that approach has also led to some high-profile setbacks, most notably in the agency's bid to block acquisitions by Microsoft and Meta.
Correspondent Jeremy House. The mayor of Venice has ordered an immediate stop to electric buses operated by La Linea Company after a bus crashed in the Italian city, injuring 15 people. This is the company's second accident in a month following a fiery October 3rd collision that killed 21 people. News and analysis at townhall.com. In France, the Louvre and Versailles Palace were evacuated yesterday after getting bomb threats.
The situation in Gaza is being blamed.
The government's very, very mindful of how swiftly tensions in the Middle East can spill out onto French soil. It's the country with the biggest Arab population in Europe, the country with the biggest Jewish population in Europe. There's a very real fear that particularly if there is a big Israeli attack on Gaza with images of Palestinian deaths and the death count going up, that that will lead to individuals or groups taking action here on French soil against Jewish or other targets.
BBC correspondent Hugh Schofield. Today is Sunday, October the 15th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today. Singer Barry McGuire is 88 years old. Actor Dominic West turns 54. Chef Emeril Lagasse is kicking it up a notch at the age of 64. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Radio, I'm with the Free Fire Media Community Radio for the North State. We're back here from the break. Yeah, I don't know. I asked Jimmy, yeah, maybe we should get a theme song for Rich there. I'll cue that up the next time.
Anyway. By the way, Stones, that was the nickname given to me. I did not pick that.
Oh, I was thinking of, Neil Diamond, Stones Inside Her Head, or, never mind.
Okay.
we hear a lot of this stuff, about the elections. We need to follow state law. We need to follow federal law with elections. We need to follow all the laws except when, we don't want to follow the laws because, I mean, you look at the left, follow the Constitution, except when we don't like it. You know, follow the Constitution, except you can't keep and bear arms. You know, so it's a one-way street with these people. They pick and choose what they want to follow as far as the law. But there also should be the factor of, is this fraudulent? Is this legal? Is this following the intent of our government, which is to preserve the rights of the people so that they can have free and fair and honest elections, so that they're actually choosing and the people they're electing and not having the people that are being elected chosen by who's ever in power and controlling machines or the voters booth or whatever. So, is there cheating going on? Is there? Have we seen any evidence of cheating? There's no evidence
of
cheating.
No, there's no evidence of any problem with our election system.
There's
in
no
Shasta County or anywhere.
There's no evidence that Trump didn't win. That's why they're singing songs about it. 81 million votes, my butt. So I don't know. Yeah. So where do you think we should go with this, Rich?
Well, again, we have a few things to talk about. So we're at the end of the legislative cycle for this year, thank goodness, although it's only going to be a short reprieve. So yesterday was the deadline for the governor to sign or veto laws for the year, and so that is completed. And, of course,
do you know which ones he's signed and vetoed, all of them?
Well, I'm tracking several subjects in the legal arena, but certainly not all of them, you know, when they're introducing literally thousands, 4,000 to 5,000 per year, and they're passing anywhere from 700 to 1,800 a year, you can't track them all, but I do track the election laws for sure.
Yeah, I just have one in front of me. I don't. I wonder how many actually were signed in the law. I mean, is it a ton of them or?
Probably.
Because I got the one here. Newsom signs repeals the California law that censored doctors giving COVID-19 care, which is kind of a twist because the courts ruled against him. So then he decided to repeal it. But I'm just curious. I mean, when we go into election laws, you know, how many laws did they put into law? What's the differences? What's the changes? What's happening is we're getting overrun with this crap, you know, is the problem. And instead of, you know, having our elected politicians or so-called elected politicians, because Gavin was duly elected in the last election, our recall, right, because nobody cheated.
But in regards to this bill, you know, as soon as we got rid of the machines and stuff, then the governor just pretty much pushed this through like, that
pretty
you
much
know?
How the it's funny how the panic sets in with these people when you start talking about making sure the elections are fair and free,
fair and transparent, and that's what I like to use. So the deal is, yeah, after our county voted out the Dominion machines, about a month later a bill was introduced, AB 969, and again that was furtherance of the retaliation. The state retaliates against our county on many, many levels. And so something we did for local control or sovereignty, they passed a bill, and now that's illegal in the next year. Now what we did prior is now illegal. So if it was legal when we did it, why would they pass a law to make what was legal illegal? It's strictly retaliation, strictly tyrannical control. That's the only reason they do this. And anybody that has any other opinion on that matter, they're not paying attention. But there's a few laws I want to go over that. And I've said this before. Last year I was saying our elections are 98% lost. If you read all the election laws, the processes, the regulations, et cetera, the fraud is ingrained everywhere.
Right.
The opportunity for fraud is everywhere.
Before we move on. So we can't even go back and, like, grandfather it. There's no clause that says because we did this then that we can keep going along those lines or anything like that, is there?
Not in this case. When they pass a law, what they're not supposed to do is make it retroactive. But in the case of 969, it was urgency. So soon, the day the governor signed it, it was now in effect. So, yeah, there's some legal maneuvering going on. I don't know how successful it's going to be, but the normal practice of things is once the law is passed, you're supposed to abide by it. So I don't know that that's going to go anywhere, although, you know, we want to entertain every legal, peaceful avenue we can. But let me go over, there's four laws specifically that are really bad. And in my humble opinion, I believe our election system is now 99% lost. And why do I leave 1%? Why? Because we may have a miracle from God. I'm always going to leave the 1% for a miracle. So, but in effect, our election system is now gone. And when you see what I explain here, you're going to probably agree with me. So the first one is Assembly Bill 1037. 1037. So what it's going to do is, this is relating to signatures, relating to vote-by-mail ballots. And so when a vote-by-mail ballot comes in, I'll just say VBM. When a VBM comes in without a signature, the registrar has a certain time frame to contact that voter and say, hey, we don't have a signature. We need you to provide us with a signature. Well, this is now going to allow for that voter that did not provide a signature to provide it electronically, not in person. Yeah, you heard me right. You heard me right.
And that works and is good because?
Because it expands the fraud.
Well, it seems like every law they pass expands the fraud.
Yes, it does. Absolutely, yeah. It does.
So they're not interested in fair elections.
Absolutely, it does. And so here's another one. And there's a theme here also. These laws are also reducing the paper trail in our elections. They reduce the paper trail. They reduce the signature verification thresholds, or they eliminate the signature verifications. Now, these laws are getting – that's why I say we're 99% gone. So here's another one, Assembly Bill 626, also passed. It'll be in effect in January. So returning vote-by-mail ballots in person – this will allow a voter to vote their VBM, vote-by-mail ballot, without the envelope.
Wow.
Without, I'm going to say that again, without the envelope. What's on the envelope? The voter's name, address, and supposed to be a signature.
What that would do is that opens the door so you can just stuff a ballot with anything, and it doesn't have to, there's no verification that there's even a ballot that a voter has used. It's just a ballot.
It's just a ballot.
It's a piece of paper, so I could print out 400 of those pieces of paper and stuff them in a box. And
well, yeah, so, that's what they had before, where you could do that online. You could print ballots.
No, the problem is if you do that, the feds will come and arrest you. If anybody else does that.
So what this does is, remember, there's no IDs required at the precincts, right? You can show up, give a name, an address, and sometimes a date of birth, depending. It depends. But all that information is available on the Secretary of State's website via Public Records Acts. You can get voter histories and stuff.
They're having a court case in Connecticut right now where this elections clerk has admitted that she has been breaking the law that requires the clerks to sign off on each absentee ballot, and the ballots are not supposed to be counted if those requirements are not met. And that's what exactly what we're talking about here is now they're saying it's legal for you not to have to.
And now there's no signature to compare.
That's
because
right.
There's no envelope with a signature on it.
There's not even a name to compare.
Well, there's no ID. There's no ID to compare. They verbally give you a name and an address. And a ballot with no envelope, and they're allowed to vote. They're allowed to vote a non-provisional ballot. That's what's key. Non-provisional mean they consider it a legitimate ballot.
It
should be counted.
The only way I can see that if you get these guys doing this is if the population in general as a whole votes against whoever they want in, because then you'd have to stuff the ballots with enough ballots to show that there was so many people that it was more than were living in the county, and then they probably accept it anyway.
And another issue with this same law, the same bill, once that person comes in with a ballot and an envelope and they're allowed to vote, now the elections office goes into the election management database and changes their status from a VBM voter to an in-person voter.
Oh.
You heard me right. Without the voter, without this person holding the ballot, showing an ID.
Right.
Now they'll sign the street roster when they vote, but the street roster legally is not required to be signature verified.
Yeah, so anybody could.
The only thing required to be signature verified is the ballot and the voter's registration. I forgot the exact term and all.
So you could have, say, 50.
It's a registration application. The signature is there. The street roster signature has no legal obligation.
So in theory, you could say, how many precincts do we have? Boxes in.
We have approximately 62 precincts.
Okay, so
and
let's say we
some
have
of
60,
them are consolidated.
62 precincts, and we said we hired 50 people who went to every precinct and voted once again.
In an election day, it's a long day, 10, 11, 12 hour day. I could probably drive and vote. I could probably hit 30 or 35 of those in a day.
At least once.
I don't think I could hit 60 of them, but I could probably
at least once.
It wouldn't take very many people, 10 people, to sway the election one way or the other, or less.
Many of our elections are won by less than 100 votes.
That's what I'm saying. It wouldn't take very many people to cheat that easily without any repercussions and no way to get caught. Gee.
There's no way to know.
Does anybody smell a rat here or something rotten in Denmark?
So it's just amazing. Another one here, Assembly Bill 545, access for voters with disabilities. Currently, disabled voters must swear an oath on a document that they are a disabled voter and they need disabled voter access or assistance. This bill is going to take that oath away. So anybody can just come in and claim a disability, and they need disabled voter assistance or to use the machines. Again, this is reducing the paper trail. California, bit by bit, they're reducing the paper. They're eliminating and or reducing the paper trail. Because remember, in an election challenge, audit, call it what you will, a recount, right? That's all done should be done with paper documents.
Correct. The ones we've done has been,
how much do we trust the electronic databases and, right? But California is pushing more of these databases and trails to an electronic trail as opposed to a paper trail. Gee, I wonder why they're doing that.
Oh.
Gee, I wonder.
no manipulation there.
It's bad. It's bad. Oh, here's a really good one too. Assembly Bill 398 was passed. So currently, if a voter needs a replacement ballot, and you know, you can spoil a ballot multiple times, a couple of times, but if you spoil a ballot, they must sign a document under penalty of perjury as to why they need a replacement ballot. Guess what? That signature under penalty of perjury going away. So no, anybody can come in and request
ballot. You just say, I want a new one, and that's
yes,
it?
Yes, correct. That signature, that paper trail, that attestation under penalty of perjury, bye-bye, see you later. Yeah, this is passed. This will be in effect next year. So,
wow. I mean, they're not trying to cheat here, right?
I'm just telling you, it's that criminal. I that's why I believe now the defeat is now complete. The election system is now fully lost, and I hate to say that. We do have some remedies though, and we'll talk about that. I've talked about separating the countywide races on a separate ballot, on a separate envelope.
So each
taking
each
control
precinct,
of it.
Each district, you mean?
The countywide races. Anything.
Any office
local,
is separate.
Anything county, city, or local races on a separate ballot, mm-hmm. separate envelope. And we take control. We don't ask permission. We just do it. These local races are not even reported to the Secretary of State's office. They're not even mandated to be reported to the Secretary of State. Only certain state and federal offices are mandated to be reported. So the Secretary of State doesn't care what the local race results are. But I'm just saying that's our last remedy. And that's that window is closing very quickly because mm-hmm. as of mid-December, when the windows close for people to file for candidacy, in mid-December those ballots are going to be created and the print orders are going to go out. Once
so
that happens,
it's
going to be
so
next
it's gonna,
to impossible.
So we've got this November election coming up here,
yeah.
And is that going to be hand-counted?
I don't know. I know it's going to be electronically tabulated with our new HART machines.
Okay, I wonder why we couldn't do both.
Well, they should be able to. It's a rather small election. It's only a few thousand voters that are expected.
But if they can stuff the box, it doesn't matter anyway.
Well, again, remember what I said, it's 99% lost. Remember ballot harvesting, right? And now with these last three or four I just mentioned, it's fait accompli now. I'm sorry, that's the reality.
So then that doesn't leave us any alternative.
Other than separating our countywide countywide races on a separate ballot. And who gets to do that? Who chooses that? The Board of Supervisors.
And they could make the elections office do that, correct?
They can pass resolutions and ordinances separating that paper ballot, those races on a separate ballot. Absolutely they can do that. Now, whether our elections officer, Kathy Allen, I will not use her in middle
name. Well, she won't cooperate.
Because there's nothing darling about her. She will refuse to comply.
Yeah.
But can we replace her, temporarily replace her, because she refuses to follow a policy?
You know, the short answer is Government Code 25201, which is what the county used to establish the Citizens Advisory Panel. That's a very broad brush code. The County Board of Supervisors have great general latitude to appoint judges, inspectors, clerks, determine precinct lines, call for the canvas. Canvas is the count. It's extremely, and this law will be changed next year. Trust me, the state will retaliate against us. And they're gonna. What we're trying to do using this law will be different next year. Trust me. But right now they've got that latitude. Now whether they have the fortitude, that's a different story. But if we're going to separate these ballots for March, it has to start now. Mm-hmm. Has to start now. We have no time to lose.
So we have an upcoming Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday. Does anybody know what's on that agenda?
Yes. There's a lot. There's a lot. But there's an election related ordinance. That last board meeting was tabled because the county council and I believe part of her staff, her name's Gretchen, I don't remember her last name, their staff report based off of that last proposed ordinance was they did not approve of it as to form and it was unenforceable. Now, they did not rewrite or evaluate that ordinance for the Board of Supervisors and issue a report. They just said it's not enforceable. Now, what's happened this Tuesday, so that ordinance was rewritten and resubmitted to county council and staff. Well, this time, they decided to rewrite the entire ordinance proposed. Remember last time they didn't even touch it.
Right.
Now this time they decided to rewrite the whole thing top to bottom, and they omitted some stuff. And I'm sorry, this just takes me back to Ruben Cruz time, when Ruben Cruz was doing everything he could to just make any patriotic, ideas, patriotic suggestions, et cetera, where he just flatly, mm-hmm. and he was wrong on so many levels when he was citing codes and Supreme Court cases, but this stinks to high heaven how this current county council, and she's new, she's only been in for a few weeks as county council, it's not looking good for her. This totally reminds me of Ruben Cruz. And they've taken out things that are required to be in this ordinance in order for us to try to reclaim and invoke 25201. And so this is not a good day. This is not a good day.
And well, what is 25201?
Government Code 25201 gives the County Board of Supervisors general authority get involved in elections processes and some staffing, clerks, inspectors, judges, determine precinct lines, call for elections, canvassing, et cetera.
Okay.
It's a beautiful law. But, you know, I've covered that here before. So that's going to be an issue on Tuesday. I believe, my humble opinion, as much as I've been involved with county politics in the last 2.5 years, I think our new county council has shown her true stripes, and this was a major test for her. And she unfortunately caved, or her principles are not that she should be. Remember, she works for the County Board of Supervisors. She doesn't work for her peers.
Right.
She doesn't even work for the CEO, David Rickert. She works for the County Board of Supervisors. Period. They're the ones that appointed her. They're the ones that can get rid of her. And so she's failed this major, major test, because our board majority, they desire for hand counting. They desire for no electronic tabulation. They desire for citizen involvement via checks and balances, citizen checks and balances. And everything she is doing, is, since these two different ordinances were proposed, everything she is doing is establishment. And it's not a good thing. So this is a big fight. This is a huge fight. Because our intent is to go in and look at the Kevin Cry petitions.
Right.
It's called an examination.
Right.
That's the intent here. And looking at the ordinance.
Seems like the standard was different this time, wasn't it?
Well, you mean how quickly it happened?
Well, here's my question. If Kathy Allen has nothing to hide with how they did the petition validation process,
should be able
it's
to,
done already. It's been the sufficiency certificate has been
be
sent to the board.
It. Why wouldn't we?
And they've accepted it, right?
Why wouldn't we examine it?
So that part of this is part of a special election, but that portion is now over and done and certified and submitted, and the election date has been selected. So those papers are just sitting there collecting dust. And I've covered this, I think, last time I was in here. There's a way for this new election panel to get in there as public officers and examine those petitions. And Kathy Allen and I think Gretchen, county council, and there's probably other staff in county council's office, they're fighting this tooth and nail.
Well, yeah, exactly. Why would they, if there's nothing to hide
and everything was done properly and appropriately, why would an independent public officer examine? This is the key. They're public officers, duly appointed and authorized by law. This is the key.
Elected.
Well, they're appointed. The Citizen Election Advisory Panel are appointed, but they're duly appointed.
Right, okay.
And by law, public officers can examine those petitions. It's in the damn law. I'm going to start cursing here in a second because it pisses me off when Kathy Allen continues to thumb her nose at us and say, no, you can't do that.
We've seen this before with Kathy when we've requested stuff and she says no. She won't be transparent on and allowing us to look at that.
I agree, but most of her decisions where she has refuted us have been where she's had that discretion. She's had discretion in a lot of places where she's decided against fairness and transparency. In this particular matter, the law is very specific. Public officers with a duty to examine those petitions may do so. It is literally in the law. And she and county council, yes, Gretchen, they're all fighting us on this.
So if the board of supervisors say, yes, you, this committee can examine these, and she doesn't allow it, can she be, I don't know, arrested? I mean, you know,
at some point, she'll be, at that
point. How do you enforce it, I guess?
Well, at that point, she'll be delaying and obstructing a public officer in the performance of their duties.
Should be sued at least.
Well, there's definitely some civil litigation. She's right for that there, for sure. But also, you know, I don't know at what point our Board of Supervisors, there's an 18-point list I have now of my grievances against Kathy Allen. And maybe after you guys want to do the break or?
Yeah, we're pretty close. You want to break here and then pick it up on the other side?
Let's do that.
Okay. And with that, we will take a break. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, La Gloria Cubana Classic, a longtime favorite created with Nicaraguan and Dominican fillers and an exquisite Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper. Along with a medium body profile, this stick offers rich chocolate and leathery notes with a cedary finish, guaranteed to age well. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Think Pink Day is coming up October 19th, featuring the Think Pink Bag Giveaway at Tri-Counties Banks on Hilltop Drive and South Street from 6 to 9 a.m. Later that day, the Think Pink Sundial Resource Fair is from 5 to 8 p.m. at the annual Think Pink Bridge Lighting at the Sundial Bridge. Think Pink calendars and bags will be available, along with NorCal Think Pink swag available for purchase. See you on Think Pink Day!
The United States Marine Corps is celebrating its 248th birthday, November 10th, at Wind River Event Center. All are invited to come and celebrate this special event that includes March On of Colors, the Jefferson Pipes and Drums, and honoring our oldest and youngest Marines present, and much more. Tickets are $35 and includes dinner and birthday cake and dancing. Tickets can be obtained through Eventbrite, Marine Corps 248th birthday. For more information, call 530-605-4565.
Join Token's radio show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as host Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Token's radio show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
Knocking at my cellar door. I love you, baby. Can I have? I hit the city and I lost my band. I watched the needle take another man. Gone, gone, the damage done.
Sovereign Mind Radio, a little Neil Young there. Kind of appropriate considering all the damage that's been done by the needles here lately, but what can I say? I digress. Where were we?
Just a lot of damage across the board.
Yeah, so we were talking about Gretchen Stur.
Yeah, it looks like her name could be S-T-U-H-R, Stur.
Rich was talking about, did you want to go over the 18... reasons, or did you want to move past that and go to another subject?
Well, I'm not going to go over the entire list. I've done it before, but I've added now a new one. So now my 17-point grievance against Kathy Allen, there's nothing darling about her, is now 18. So on September 14th, I requested to observe the Kevin Cry petition validations.
Okay.
On September 14th. That was the day after those petitions were due. Okay.
Yeah, they were due on the 13th. Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So I observed. I requested to observe. So here's the trail. So I didn't get a response back until October 6th from the registrar's office. What happened in that three-week period? The petition validation occurred. The sufficiency certificate was issued, accepted by the Board of Supervisors, and the special election was called. It was after all of that that I got a response back that says, oh, if you want to come in and observe the raw count process, come on in.
What does that even mean, the raw count?
Yeah.
That's just, you know, how many each page is called a section, and then the entire stack is called a petition. So that's just where they check each section to see, you know, how many raw counts. So I don't know how many.
Oh, so you're not counting the individuals.
Count.
You're counting
the
totals of
it's
the
a gross. Yeah, it's like a gross versus net, right? It's
okay.
A gross raw
okay.
count. But it took them 3 weeks to respond to me. And in that 3 weeks,
course,
the whole process was
slow,
done.
They're stonewalling.
The whole process
you.
Was
slow
finished.
Walking you.
It was completed.
Mean, no question.
And then they get back to me. No, I've given these documents to one of our boards of supervisors. They have these emails. So they, you know, I speak of nothing unless I can show data, facts, and evidence. And so one of our board members has this information. Hmm. So that's my 18th grievance now on Mrs. Allen's list.
Well, how do you do anything about it, I guess, is the question. We keep coming back to what do you do? I mean,
what's the solution?
They're giving us the finger all the way across the board, but they're doing it successfully. I mean,
and one of their arguments now with this Citizens Election Advisory Panel wanting to go in and examine these petitions, of course, allowed by law, absolutely allowed by law. The statutes are in place. There's an argument they might try to use on Tuesday, which is, well, this is election interference. Are you kidding me? The law literally says these public officers can go in and examine the petitions. And they want to try to scare. This is the scare tactic. It's a scare tactic.
No, this is exactly what the left has been doing all along. Anything that they're doing, they accuse you of.
Yes.
No matter what it is.
Absolutely.
If they're accusing you of election interference, you can take it to the bank. They're the ones interfering in the election.
Yep.
If they're accusing you of whatever it happens to be, insurrection, they're the ones that have done the insurrection, and you're the one that is going to pay for it.
Yep.
So, you know, it's like I had a client the other day, and she happened to mention, I know we got off the conversation about January 6th, and she said she was, like, thinking about voting for Trump until she found out all the police officers that were killed on January 6th. And I said, what? There were absolutely no police officers killed on January 6th. There was one that died a couple days later from natural causes and a heart attack. The only person that was killed on January 6th was Ashley Babbitt when she was shot by one of the Capitol policemen. So But that's the level of disinformation that's out there. They've been hammering on the January 6th issue and telling and her husband happens to be a police officer. So, yeah. Of course, she's like, well, you know, as soon as they start shooting the police, I'm against, but they never shot any police. No police died. But yeah. That's what we're talking about. These people will lie about anything. And that was across all of the big major media sources.
Yep.
And that's what's happening here is we're being propagandized into the grave.
Yeah, they automatically swallow it without doing any investigation to what is really going on and what evidence there is or isn't out there.
Well, our Board of Supervisors, you know, they're in a really tough spot right now. Just like we heard on that 3-minute video a little while ago, we have to not comply with laws that are bad, fraudulent, unethical, immoral, unconstitutional, you know, have a valid reason for not complying, which we have. We have for these election laws that that are complicit in the fraud. In a hard place, and you know what? Again, I mentioned that mid-December date. When those ballot orders go out for the March primary, it's going to be pretty much just about impossible to...
Well, this is one of the reasons that they're all trying to paint everybody as a terrorist, you know, out of the Patriot Act, is because they want you to be painted as a terrorist so that you can be treated under the Patriot Act as a terrorist, even though you're just a concerned citizen that wants to make sure we have a fair election, and you want to examine the process, and you want to make sure that they're not cheating, and you want to make sure that this is all legitimate and above board, but now you're a terrorist.
So here's the answer. The answer is to separate our ballots again. Countywide races only. Separate envelopes. If we have to create a new election office, remember 25201, they can appoint judges, clerks, and inspectors. So, I mean, and this is bold. This is a very bold, this is new territory. And the state's going to say, you're not allowed to do that. You have to follow state law. Well, where are we getting with following state law, right?
Right.
So this is new territory. They have to use people outside of the current elections office. Period. They have to use all new staff and do a separate election, separate processes, separate facilities, separate. Yes, this is a hard pill to swallow. It's a huge pill to swallow in 2 months. Can we do it? Yeah, we can do it. And there will be a pushback from the Secretary of State and the Attorney General, and they're going to say, you're not allowed to do that.
At what point in time do you give them the finger?
Right.
Anyway?
That's what I'm saying.
You got to give them the finger here, because what's happening is, it's like what's happening in the country, the borders, you know, the terrorism, all this stuff, the economics, you know, at some point in time you go, they're doing this shit on purpose. This on purpose.
Yeah, so here's the key with separating, right? Remember I mentioned that the local races are not reported to the Secretary of State.
Right.
Remember
that.
That's important to remember. So, so the key here is, I almost lost my train of thought with
that music
in the background.
I lost my temper a little bit.
So the key is though, if all the ballots stay together, countywide ballots, countywide races stay with the state and federal ballots, that's all one ballot. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how many pages, it's considered one ballot. And we try to take control of our countywide races. That's the problem. If we separate everything and then they try to sue us or they try to decertify, here's what will happen if all the races stay together, right? If all the races stay together, but we try to take control of some local issues, the Secretary of State will decertify. Trust me, they will do that. They will say all of your elections in the state, in your county, all the ballots, everything is decertified. Everything. So that'll really tick off 80,000 voters in this county if their votes for state or federal office are decertified by the Secretary of State. Trust me, the state retaliates against us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for somebody to say, oh, they're not going to decertify, really? Pay attention. So that's another reason to separate the countywide ballots.
Right.
Okay. Now that gives our local voters to follow the state and federal laws, and their state and federal choices will still count. Okay. And then at that point, if the Secretary of State comes in and says, well, we're going to decertify your local races, we don't even report those to you by law, Secretary of State. You don't get to decertify anything. Local office, local control, local funding, local authority, local jurisdiction, local officers. And did I say local? And at that point, we give the middle finger to them and say, you're not decertifying our local races. We're in charge of our local races, not you. That's another extremely important reason to separate these ballots.
You got to get somebody over there and get rid of Allen, because
Yes.
You know, she's not
part of the machine.
She's not going anywhere. She's entrenched. She's being told, trust me, she's controlled. She's being told what to do, and how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, I, again, this is a very bold idea, but we have to have a separate office to run the countywide races. Period. Separate. That's the reality. We can put in the resolution and the ordinance in the next 2 months, and then we'll have a little bit of leeway before we would have to develop our local countywide ballot, send it to print, and that's another issue
where it gets printed, right? Yeah.
If we control it, then we say who gets to print it. We'll print our own. How about we print our own?
Yeah.
Screw the Secretary of State. Screw them. Yeah, you heard me, Ms. Weber.
I was going to say, because we can do that. We can print our own ballots. We do not have to put it out somewhere.
According to current law, we have to use an approved ballot printer for printing ballots. Again, this is a very bold and a novel thing we must do to save our countywide races. The state and federals are lost. They're gone, especially after what I just read earlier. They're gone. They're gone, people. Let's face the facts. We must take immediate control of our countywide elections, and this is how we do it. But we have to start now.
Well,
nobody else in the country
is talking
about
it. We got to start doing something here. That's for sure.
Well, if we keep following the laws, where's that going to get us?
No,
right?
It's not working.
Remember Star Wars and Leia and Chewie and them? They're in the trash bin chute, and the walls are caving in on them.
I remember.
What happens if you stay in the trash chute? You're dead. You have to get out of the trash chute. So if we stay in this trash chute of a state with the laws that continue to put their boot on our necks, and they literally retaliate against us, literally, by passing a law saying you can't do that anymore.
This is all our
governor. We have to get out of the trash chute.
Right. Well, this is all our governor, who we know is an agent for the World Economic Forum.
I'm saying this for the benefit of the listeners. The listeners have to put pressure on the County Board of Supervisors. Look, it's lost. I'm not kidding. They will steal the March primary from us. They will steal the County Board of Supervisors from us. We're done, people. Our county is done after that. Right now we have the board majority.
Let's say that that happens, and then we'll lose the board majority because they'll be able to do whatever they want in the elections. And then what happens to the county?
They're going
to
undo everything that the Patriots have done in the last
two years.
But then what's going to be the end result is we implode just like the rest of the state of California.
Do we want that, or should we save our county?
I'm for saving the county. I'm just saying the repercussions of not doing this means that this whole thing's going down. And economically, we're already going down.
Well, I think I've said this before. We are in the collapse, political, social, financial, religious. We're in the collapse is happening.
Vortex now.
Okay. But if we take our county, we keep county control. We have it now, barely. If we can keep county control, we can minimize that collapse, at least at the county level.
Right.
And then we want good governance in place to rebuild from that collapse. That is the key here. That is the key. I agree with you. We are in the collapse at so many levels. I bought a brick of cheese that a year ago was $8. It was $12.50 for that same brick.
Oh, yeah.
That is almost a 50% increase.
Well, the 10 years going up. Everything's going to spin out of control. They're going to spend a bunch more money. Let's do this. We need to go to a break. I still haven't played the town hall. Yeah. I still haven't played the town hall.
Let me give you one last item and then, okay. I'll listen. Our board of supervisors have more than enough evidence to issue an official censure and a vote of no confidence against Kathy Allen. So they need to do that now.
Okay. Thank you so much for the time. No problem. Thanks for coming.
We're not going to go to a break, but I'm going to go ahead and play the town hall meeting. We just haven't got to it yet. So here we go on the town hall meeting. We're running late on everything, and we're at the end of the show almost. So here we go.
Good day, and welcome to this week's Shasta Lake Town Hall News Brief. I'm your host, Penelope Smith, here with the latest local update. In our first brief, some release from the homeless crisis. Religious institutions and nonprofit colleges in California can turn their parking lots and other properties into low-income housing under a new law to combat the homeless crisis. Starting in 2024, the law signed by Governor Gavin Newsom rezones land owned by these groups to bypass costly and lengthy permitting to build affordable housing, though it sunsets in 2036.
With nearly a third of all U.S. homeless in California, the law provides another tool to address the crisis by leveraging surplus land owned by churches, mosques, synagogues, and colleges. A UC Berkeley study found that these groups have over 170,000 eligible acres statewide. The law faced opposition from cities worrying about local control and environmental groups concerned about the coastal development, but amendments strengthened labor rules and exempted sensitive coastal and wildlife areas. In a related story, Governor Gavin Newsom signed a new law that expands the state's conservatorship system to make it easier to provide care for people with untreated mental illness or drug addictions. The law broadens the definition of gravely disabled to include those unable to provide basic needs like food and shelter due to untreated conditions. It is designed to address the growing homelessness crisis by making it easier for authorities to detain and treat people against their will if deemed necessary. While supporters argue the law will help reform the mental health system and get people off the streets, opponents worry it will deprive more people of their rights and force unwanted treatment. But counties can delay implementation until 2026. It serves as part of California's ongoing efforts to overhaul the mental health system amid a rise in homelessness. Moving on to Shasta County's election news. The California legislature recently passed a law, AB 969, that prohibits manual voting count in elections with over 1,000 registered voters. This law conflicts with a previous decision by Shasta County to hand count votes in their November 7th special election. Shasta County Board of Supervisors Chairman Patrick Jones wants to file litigation seeking an exemption from AB 969. Jones believes the county should be grandfathered in since they developed a hand counting system before the law was passed. However, AB 969 does not appear to contain any exemptions. In April, the county acquired certified electronic voting technology that would allow the head of elections to comply with the law. Jones contends the electronic system contract is fraudulent. Other board members seem uncertain about challenging the new law, with some stating the county must follow state law. Voting advocates assert that state governments, not local entities, administer elections and want accurate voting processes. To conclude today's brief, have you seen Emily? The Redding Police Department reported that 13-year-old Emily Brown has been missing for over a week as of Wednesday, October 12th. Emily ran away from home in the early morning hours of Tuesday, October 3rd, according to her father, Robert Brown. Although Emily has a history of running away, her current whereabouts are unknown. The Redding Police Department is asking anyone with information about Emily's location to contact them at 530-225-4200. Thank you for listening to your Shasta Lake Town Hall News Brief. Become a part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at 420 Truth Teller on X, formerly Twitter.
All right, we got that out of the way. I do have another clip to play before the end of the show. Well, we still have a few more minutes, but maybe wrap it up, Rich, and then I'll play this clip before going out. What about this contract being fraudulent?
So unfortunately, in April of this year, the County Board of Supervisors gave full authority to Kathy Allen to do the request for proposal for the HART contract. That should not have happened that way. They should not have delegated that authority. So what do you think she did? Do you think there's a 30-day opt-out? A lot of our current county contracts have 30-day opt-outs for any reason or no reason at all. A lot of our county contracts now, since the good board has been seated, have put that in there, and that's the proper thing to do. No more evergreen clauses. Mm-hmm. Evergreen meaning, oh, we're just going to, if we do cancel your services, you still get the full money. Okay. Well, the only thing Kathy Allen put, she didn't put in any 30-day opt-outs or 30-day amendments in the contract. They gave her the authority. They should not have done that. So she developed a contract with HART. She was given the authority. And now the only opt-out in that is, there's a term, gosh darn, I forgot the term. Breach of contract. There it is. If either party has a breach of contract, then that party has a 30-day correction window. And if it's not corrected, then the contract is void. That's it. That is it. Mm. Now, what you'll hear on Tuesday at the board meeting, it's gonna come up that why that contract was entered into, and the presentations given by the elections officials, was misinformation. Yeah, I'm going to use those words. It was misinformation, disinformation, or lack of information, and that that contract should not have been entered into as such. And that's going to be is that a breach of contract? Well, not necessarily, but if it was entered into fraudulently,
well, there's
right,
supposed to be full disclosure.
Full disclosure. Thank you very much. That's the term I was looking for. If we can say, yep, the Board of Supervisors was lied to by elections officials.
Yeah. That voids the contract.
That can pretty much void that contract. Yeah. So we are seeking to either get out or amend the Hart contract.
Very good.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate all the information.
Yeah, thank you. Everything you do, Rich. We really appreciate it. I do have this little 3-minute clip, and this is from Canada. This is Hat Tip Lori, which is kind of an interesting thing about purebloods. And this is a different take than we've been getting from the news, but it's starting to come out how dangerous these vaxes are. So I thought I'd play this because it kind of gives it a different spin here. So here we go.
Welcome back to Wake Up Canada News. I'm Brad Wilder. As we continue to wait and hope that more and more people wake up every single day, some that took the bait are now starting to realize that we, the COVID unvaccinated, weren't all wrong. This is that message to you, the unvaccinated. Even if I were pollinated and fully vaccinated, I would admire the unvaccinated for withstanding the greatest pressure I've ever seen. From partners, parents, children, friends, colleagues, and even doctors. People who are capable of such personality, courage, and critical ability are undoubtedly the best part of humanity. They are everywhere, in all ages, levels of education, states, and ideas. They are of a special kind. They are the soldiers that every army of light wants to have in its ranks. They are the parent that every child wants to have, and the children that every parent dreams of having. They are beings above the average of their societies. They are the essence of the people who have, well, built all cultures and conquered horizons. They are there, next to you. They look normal, but they are superheroes. They did what others could not. They were the tree that withstood the hurricane of insults, discrimination, and social exclusion. And they did it because they thought they were alone. And they believed that, well, they were the only ones. Banned from their family's tables at Christmas, they never saw anything so cruel. They lost their jobs, let their careers sink, had no more money, but they didn't care. They suffered immeasurable discrimination, denunciation, betrayal, and humiliation, but they kept on going. Never before in humanity has there been such a casting. Now, we all know who are the best on the planet Earth. Men, women, young, old, rich, poor, of all races or religions, the unvaccinated, the chosen of the invisible ark, the only ones who managed to resist when everything collapsed. That's you. You passed an unimaginable test that many of the toughest Marines, commandos, Green Berets, astronauts, and even geniuses could not withstand. You are made of the stuff of the greatest who ever lived. Those heroes born among ordinary men who glow in the dark. Remember, you're the voice, and it's time to make it count. I'm Brad Wilder. Thanks for watching. This is Wake Up Canada News. Till next time.
I guess we just missed that on the 5 o'clock news here on KERC.
Oh, come on now. Really?
Just saying. A little different spin going on there, huh?
Yeah.
Crazy days indeed, man. We are in way into crazy.
Can I just remind everybody that while this Israel thing is extremely important at the worldwide level, right? It's you guys. I'm not going to repeat everything you said, but just remember, a lot of the stuff that happens, it's to distract us from what we really should be paying attention to.
I agree.
Remember, all this stuff given out at the even the state that sends us distractions, but certainly the federal government and the world.
Oh, yeah.
Our concentration
right now should be on our local boards of supervisors, local. Our county, our elected officials, on the school boards, all of that.
Correct. Local control and sovereignty.
Our community, our local community, all the way across the board, with everything.
Yeah.
With absolutely everything.
Yeah.
I think we're almost out of here.
Well, we probably have about 30 seconds or so, yeah.
Well, government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And we'll see y'all next time.
Yeah.
See you then. All gun control is racist. See you next week.
you next week.
Have a great weekend.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone.
KCNR Shasta Reading.
Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.